HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A powerful storm system that pummeled parts of the South has moved to the north and east, but not before devastating Middle Tennessee.
We all hunkered down in the floor, and then the next thing we know, it just sounded like an explosion went off. You could hear stuff flying everywhere. It was crazy.
A string of tornadoes blamed for at least six deaths, among them a toddler. Correspondent Manuel Bujorquez is in Nashville.
Power lines and poles were toppled, and homes are now missing entire sections. Crews have been deployed to these hard-hit neighborhoods to try to restore power.
At least 5 inches of rain have fallen in the northeast in the last 24 hours. As the war rages in southern Gaza, Hamas is threatening to kill all remaining hostages if demands for more aid and prisoner swaps aren't met. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen.
Gaza has been turned into a living hell for civilians by Israel's offensive. Thousands of children are among the Palestinian dead. Their families say there's only one way to make a difference. Everyone is only talking about aid, said Ibrahim Ahmed al-Ashra. We don't care about aid. We want them to stop the bloodshed.
President Biden marks Hanukkah with a reception at the White House today. Correspondent Christian Benavidez says his support at home is slipping.
A new CBS News poll is spelling out more trouble for President Biden. There's an increasing number of Democrats who think the president is giving too much support to Israel. It's not just the war. 7 in 10 Americans say they disapprove of the president's handling of inflation and immigration at the border, as Americans say their income isn't keeping up with inflation.
The presidents of Harvard and MIT are under mounting pressure to resign after UPenn's president stepped down over the weekend amid controversy over congressional testimony about anti-Semitism on campus. A U.S. military jet has crashed in the Yellow Sea. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The F-16 was stationed at a base in South Korea. The pilot ejected and was recovered by Korean forces. The U.S. military says he is in stable condition. The cause of the crash isn't known. A U.S. Air Force Osprey crashed off Japan last month, killing all 8 on board.
LeBron's kid has finally made his debut.
Bronny James, his first college bucket.
His mom, dad, and 9-year-old sister watched as the Southern California freshman scored a pull-up 3-pointer 4.5 months after he suffered cardiac arrest during practice. LeBron posted video to Instagram, writing, "Can't even tell y'all how emotional today was for me." S&P futures down too. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Hold on to your jingle bell.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A powerful storm system that pummeled parts of the South has moved to the north and east, but not before devastating Middle Tennessee.
We all hunkered down in the floor, and then the next thing we know, it just sounded like an explosion went off. You could hear stuff flying everywhere. It was crazy.
A string of tornadoes blamed for at least six deaths, among them a toddler. Correspondent Manuel Bujorquez is in Nashville.
Power lines and poles were toppled, and homes are now missing entire sections. Crews have been deployed to these hard-hit neighborhoods to try to restore power.
At least 5 inches of rain have fallen in the northeast in the last 24 hours. As the war rages in southern Gaza, Hamas is threatening to kill all remaining hostages if demands for more aid and prisoner swaps aren't met. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen.
Gaza has been turned into a living hell for civilians by Israel's offensive. Thousands of children are among the Palestinian dead. Their families say there's only one way to make a difference. Everyone is only talking about aid, said Ibrahim Ahmed al-Ashra. We don't care about aid. We want them to stop the bloodshed.
President Biden marks Hanukkah with a reception at the White House today. Correspondent Christian Benavidez says his support at home is slipping.
A new CBS News poll is spelling out more trouble for President Biden. There's an increasing number of Democrats who think the president is giving too much support to Israel. It's not just the war. 7 in 10 Americans say they disapprove of the president's handling of inflation and immigration at the border, as Americans say their income isn't keeping up with inflation.
The presidents of Harvard and MIT are under mounting pressure to resign after UPenn's president stepped down over the weekend amid controversy over congressional testimony about anti-Semitism on campus. A U.S. military jet has crashed in the Yellow Sea. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
The F-16 was stationed at a base in South Korea. The pilot ejected and was recovered by Korean forces. The U.S. military says he is in stable condition. The cause of the crash isn't known. A U.S. Air Force Osprey crashed off Japan last month, killing all 8 on board.
LeBron's kid has finally made his debut.
Bronny James, his first college bucket.
His mom, dad, and 9-year-old sister watched as the Southern California freshman scored a pull-up 3-pointer 4.5 months after he suffered cardiac arrest during practice. LeBron posted video to Instagram, writing, "Can't even tell y'all how emotional today was for me." S&P futures down too. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Hold on to your jingle bells.
I looked up at the clock and realized it started a little late. So for folks watching our live video feed, I'm bringing up the temperatures right now, and you can see 3. I had time to go get 3 temperatures before we got things started. So I can tell you up here on Lake Wissota, it's 21 degrees. Hayward is at 18 and Park Falls is at 17. But if that trend continues throughout the rest of the state, everybody is about 20 degrees cooler than they were on Friday when we were in the, close to 40 degrees, in the early morning hours. Definitely not the case now, as Jennifer Vachitsky had told us on Friday that a cold front would be coming through. But things are looking fairly dry for the next few weeks here. This is normally where I'd say in Waukesha, it's something, and I'd bring in Greg Bach, but I don't have the Waukesha temperature, so I guess we won't hear from Greg today at all.
Hello!
What do we got in Waukesha right now?
Well, Pat, it's a balmy 26 degrees here in Waukesha downtown studios here at WAUK.
And there we go. There's Greg Bach, right as rain. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well.
Okay. How did things go at the comedy club this weekend?
Oh my gosh. Derek was fantastic. He is so funny. Mm-hmm. I stayed up until like 1:15 in the morning talking to him on Saturday night or Sunday morning, I should say. And it's a good time. And we had a breakthrough day with good old Maybell yesterday. So that was fun.
A breakthrough day? Tell us more about the puppy.
We took the dog bed and we put it on the couch and we put her on the dog bed and we were expecting her to dart right off of it, go right back in the kitchen. She never moved. And then.
Well, all right.
And then yesterday she jumped. She came out of the kitchen into the living room, jumped into the dog bed on the couch. So it's like, oh my gosh, I think she likes me.
You like me. You really like me.
Yeah.
That's all. Do you think part of it is, because she's, how are we just a miniature German Shepherd?
Yeah, she's a miniature. Yeah, she's a mini German Shepherd. Yeah.
I just wonder if having her elevated up on the couch there, it's like, you know, it's kind of like the first time you're in an SUV or something, like, hey, look, I have power. I'm way up here now. I'm not small and in danger, and I can see what it is they watch on TV and why.
And they're playing with me constantly, and they're giving me attention and treats and love, and that's what we do.
That is very cool. Yeah. Well, good. Good job, Maybell. You keep that up.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Coming up on the program this morning, in a stunning 9-8 vote at a Saturday emergency meeting, the UW Board of Regents voted down a deal that had been worked out with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to get him to end his block on pay raises for tens of thousands of UW employees. A lot happened after we got off the air with you on Friday, in that Speaker Voss and Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, announced this agreement. It was quickly panned all around as being nothing more than blackmail as part of Robin Voss's continued assault on diversity efforts. And so he would lift the block on pay raises. He'd allow funding to go through for an engineering building, but the university would have to agree to, some pretty tough things to swallow. And while everybody thought maybe the Board of Regents would simply rubber stamp it, after some emotional debate at that Saturday emergency meeting, they voted it down. Where do we go from here? State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire is the ranking member on the Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee, and will talk to us in our second hour about that. Some very sad news out of Texas that we will be talking about with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and OBGYN, because Texas is essentially torturing a pregnant woman. And I mean, I don't know any other two ways of going about doing it. And of course, not the whole state of Texas, but some right-wing leaders on the Supreme Court and in the Attorney General's office. Remember the debate over the Affordable Care Act? And Republicans said it would amount to big government trying to control your body. And yet that's exactly what's happening now to a woman who cannot get treatment for a non-viable pregnancy, even though the delay puts in jeopardy her health and her desire to have a healthy baby someday. But the state attorney general is not only getting the state Supreme Court to force her to stay pregnant with this non-viable fetus, but is threatening to jail any doctors who help her get the care that she desperately needs. That's even though Texas has a quote-unquote abortion ban on the books with exceptions, but the exceptions are worded in such a way that any politician can essentially get between a woman and the medical care that she needs. So we will talk to Dr. Lyerly about that coming up as well. Your phone calls are welcome too, of course, at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Call us or text us at that number, or send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or leave a comment on Facebook if you're watching the live video feed there. You can also catch everything that we do at Up North News over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts together our daily newsletter. The edition this morning has some ways to save money and make life a little easier at the grocery store over the holiday season. She has a story about how fans of Food Network might notice a familiar face on tomorrow's episode of Chopped, and we'll get you caught up on our recent news coverage of the abortion fight over an 1849 law and a settlement in the civil lawsuit against the fake Trump electors. So all that and more can be found at our newsletter. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. Congressman Mark Pocan will be our guest tomorrow morning at 7:30. As we start to head into our final week here of live morning shows, then while I take some time off with family, we're putting together some special editions. We have had some great guests and conversations over the year, if I do say so myself, and it has so little to do with me, but just great guests, great topics, and we want to bring some of that back. For example, on Friday, We played back John Kinville, the author of a book about a young man from Chippewa Falls who was lost at Pearl Harbor. It was an honor to re-rack that on Friday for you. Now, we've had some other really good topics. And so for the third and fourth weeks of December, ask your indulgence to keep on tuning in, because there are shows you may have missed, and we're not just grabbing any, you know, rerun off the shelf. We're picking these quite carefully and hope that you really enjoy them along the way. And then we will be back on Tuesday, January 2nd. Thursday will be our last live show here coming up for this week. All right, let's get you caught up on the news. But before we get to the UW deal that was rejected, I want to call out some local coverage that happened up here in the Chippewa Valley a few days back, where the discussion was about a visit by Senator Ron Johnson and Congressman Derek Van Orden. And now, of course, when a congressman and a U.S. senator come to town, you know, the coverage by and large is going to be stenography. They came here to talk about this, and here's what they, you know, talk about. It's just that the way it was handled, even after the soundbite, was a little grating on me, and I wanted to share it. It's the kind of thing I'd normally talk about with Mark Jacob on Friday when we critique media coverage. So, of course, Congressman Van Orden talked about his trip to Israel, which was as unnecessary as it was unhelpful to his Republican caucus when they were in the drama of trying to elect a new speaker. But then the thing that was especially grating was Senator Ron Johnson being able to get away with saying the following in talking about, again, casting doubts on the nature of the insurrection of January 6th, 2021. Here's what Ron Johnson said in one local TV report.
I think the American public needs to know exactly what happened on January 6th. The full story has not been told. There's been, an enormous cover-up on parts of government agencies, that type of thing, and American people need and deserve the truth.
And here's the thing. I agree with him word for word. It's just that what he means by his words are not what I mean when I say, yeah, I don't think the full story has been told. I think people need and deserve the truth. Now, unfortunately, the anchor tag that comes out of that piece said something along the lines of, Senator Johnson was reelected this past November after beating Democratic candidate Mandela Barnes. I think that's what really got to me, because I just stopped right there. I'm like, what? It wasn't this past November. That was 13 months ago. Why are we bringing up Johnson winning over Mandela Barnes? A more informative tag from that soundbite you just heard would have said something like, Senator Johnson has never presented any evidence of any type of government cover-up. Rather, the special committee investigating January 6th uncovered the extent to which Senator Johnson was potentially moments away from delivering fraudulent ballots to Vice President Mike Pence. And that is not, let's make very clear, that is not a partisan or political anchor tag. That is exactly what any good anchor or any good reporter should have written down, because that is 100% factual. Senator Johnson has never presented any evidence of any type of government cover-up. Rather, the special committee investigating January 6th uncovered the extent to which Johnson was potentially moments away from delivering fraudulent electoral ballots to Vice President Mike Pence. Now, you could have gone on to say, also on that day, Van Orden was on the U.S. Capitol grounds in restricted space, but has denied any further involvement in the violence of that day. But I suppose we don't have to waste too much time on an anchor tag. But better to make clear that Johnson's slinging things that he can't back up rather than mentioning an election from 13 months ago. We'll pause for a moment here, and then when we come back, we will break down the drama from Friday and Saturday about a piece of blackmail from Robin Voss that the UW Board of Regents decided to take a pass on. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. K.
Still hard to believe this is bread. The people who gave us Baby, I'ma Want You. Greg, that still gets to you, doesn't it?
I can't believe it's still bread.
I still can't believe this is bread. I can't believe this is not butter. I can't believe this is bread.
I never listen to bread other than the hits, and to me they're always like a more of a
very soft rock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you're like driving down a California highway, like a Ventura Highway type of song. But I still can't believe this is bread.
So I'm looking at their discography, because as I've mentioned, or as I tend to mention at this point, we have a history lesson coming up in 30 minutes, and we'll tell you why David Gates from Bread is mentioned in there. But as I'm going through the songs, and I see this one called Mother Freedom, and I'm just like, oh, that's right, that's Bread. And that'd actually make for a good rockin' first bumper tune. And so here comes that first bumper tune, and I, of course, step on it immediately and go, I can't believe this is Bread. But they're
Bread rocks, man.
Well, they did. Like how many other bands started out as rockers, and then they learned that there is money in love songs and power ballads.
That's what happened to the band Journey. Journey was a instrumental jazz rock fusion band. And they're like, hey, you know how you guys have sold like 9 records ever?
Doobie Brothers, Chicago.
Oh.
No shortage of bands that were like, and then of course some of the members get mad. They leave. That's not, I'm here for rock and roll. And the other one's here, I'm here for the paycheck.
Yeah.
Look at this. Maybe I'm gonna want you.
And now like 50 years later, they're like, I'm happy headlining the county fair. Yeah. I'm making like $1,000 mm-hmm. today.
Yeah. Good on them. All right, so more from our history lesson coming up in about a half hour or so, but continuing to unpack the news on this Monday, December the 11th. So we left the air yesterday and got word that there was going to be this agreement between the University of Wisconsin system on behalf of President Jay Rothman and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And I hasten to add, only Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. We already knew that Senate Republican leader Devin Lemahieu was not on board Voss blocking the pay raises of tens of thousands of UW system employees as a way to blackmail them to drop their diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Devin Lemahieu said, no, I think those raises should go through. And he's right. They should go through because they've already been approved. The legislature already voted to approve them. They were in the state budget that the legislature passed and the governor signed, but then through this little legislative maneuver, the raises themselves have to go through a committee one more time, and that's where they're stuck right now. And Governor Evers is actually suing the legislature for that reason, saying that this is an unconstitutional separation of powers issue. These raises have been approved. You can't block them, but Voss continues to block them anyway. And Republicans have also blocked a new engineering building at the Madison campus, even though that is the biggest priority of the big business lobby. It would be great for job creation. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce wants it. But again, Speaker Voss can use this as leverage, in other words, blackmail, to try to get them to drop the DEI programs. And remember, this is the same Robin Voss, who said back in June, he said he was embarrassed to be a UW alumni because of the existence of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. And back in June, I kid you not, he called the elimination of DEI programs the single most important issue that we are facing as a people, as a nation, and as really humanity. Humanity. He thinks that promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion and fighting racial injustice is the biggest problem facing us as a people, as a nation, and as humanity. And I don't know how you interpret that any way other than the worst possible interpretation. And I'll let you fill in that blank. But there's no middle ground on that. When you think fighting diversity, equity, and inclusion is the biggest problem you face as humanity. But Voss really wants these programs gone. So he's denied the pay raises for 25,000 to 30,000 UW system employees. He's denied this engineering building. He has cut the UW budget, even though there's an $8 billion surplus. And yet, UW system president Jay Rothman and Robin Voss worked out a deal that would have led to a quote-unquote reimagining of the diversity positions, or reconfiguration, or whatever you want to call it. But it also would have led the UW to end a diversity program involved with hiring. Here's the one that really overreached for me. The UW would be required to seek, quote, philanthropic support for a professor who would focus on conservative thought, classic economic theory, or classical liberalism, depending on the donor's interest. And by classical liberalism, we actually do mean they were looking for somebody focused on conservative thought. In other words, Voss had to blackmail the UW to get a so-called conservative professor. Because again, when you can't win on your ideas alone, I guess you cheat or you resort to blackmail. So the UW would have had to do all of these things. And Voss was willing to throw in some more money for buildings that needed to be fixed or constructed or raised. But Rothman let it be known that Voss also specifically mentioned two buildings on the Whitewater campus where Voss is a graduate. So the whole thing just smelled of overreach, that Voss was going to get everything he wanted in terms of assaulting DEI programs. He was going to be able to essentially get an earmark for campus buildings from a Republican Party, you'll recall, that claims that they are against earmarks. And so this thing goes to the Board of Regents on Saturday. And at the time, people were thinking that, you know, this thing might easily, pass by a vote of, say, 12-5 or something like that. And it went down 9-8, as some of the regents spoke rather passionately about the value of diversity and equity and inclusion. Regent Angela Adams, according to a story in the Milwaukee Journal, said that any deal to stop blocking already approved funding in exchange for insulting people historically excluded and underrepresented in higher education is a non-starter for me. She said, it's divisive, it's polarizing, and will ultimately lead to even more negative effects on the university system. And Regent Dana Walks of Eau Claire, a former Democratic legislator, said, quote, I don't like this precedent. We need to make this a welcoming environment. The Legislative Black Caucus put out a statement saying, who was at the table making negotiations on behalf of our Black and Brown students on campus? Who decided to undervalue our students and staff of color by setting a price tag on their inclusion? And so it was voted down. Now, Voss, of course, you know, puts out a statement that says, well, it's just too bad that the Board of Regents decided to kill these pay raises. It's too bad that they voted to go along with, indoctrination, or however it is that he feels about DEI programs. He says, it's a shame they've denied employees their raises and almost a billion investment that would have made the UW system all they could be to continue their ideological campaign to force students to believe only one viewpoint is acceptable on campus. Well, that's what Voss thinks. Now let's talk to you in our next hour, the ranking member of the Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee, Jody Emerson of Eau Claire, and continue the conversation in our next hour. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is coming up to shift gears as we continue covering the news after this here up north.
CBS News Brief. At least six people are dead, among them a two-year-old, after treacherous tornadoes tore through Middle Tennessee.
Literally felt like the whole house was shaking, like the foundation, and we could hear all the trees just snapping.
This morning, there's severe flooding from New Jersey through southern New England. Israel has told people in central Khan Yunis to move away, but Palestinians who remain say travel's too dangerous. The BBC's Yolande Nell.
They say that the road going down to Rafah now has not proved to be safe, that there are Israeli snipers operating around lots of the neighborhoods there.
Calls growing for two more elite college presidents to resign over testimony on anti-Semitism on campus.
So spread the word. It's not just those of us who are all around the country, and every single one of them.
Protesters at Penn, where Liz McGill stepped down, insisting leaders of MIT and Harvard do the same. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The amount of underage cigarette and vape sales in Wisconsin has more than doubled since 2019. That's according to the University of Wisconsin Survey Center, which sent underage customers to over 1,000 random retailers across the state. Around 13% of stores sold nicotine products to the underage customers. While federal law raised the minimum age to purchase tobacco in 2019, Wisconsin law has not, leaving some retailers confused about who they can and cannot sell to. While cigarette use has gone down in teens, vaping use has gone up. A new proposal would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana in Wisconsin. The bill would carry no jail time and drop fines to as low as $100. It would also give law enforcement more flexibility on a case-by-case basis. So far, the response among lawmakers has been mixed. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly cloudy by this afternoon. We'll see a high near 33. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 21. Winds will gust over 25 miles per hour at times. For Tuesday, sunshine, a high near 28. 33 and sun for Wednesday. That's weather from Severe Studios.
It's 21 right now.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. UK. UK. UK.
And she be slaying that Mariah karaoke. And all the Starbuckers in the last hand. Put some peppermint mocha in my latte. Hey, hey,
hey. Yeah, they did it.
Oh, no!
Yes. Yes, Walker Hayes turned Fancy Like That into Fancy Like Christmas. I heard this yesterday. Sherry and I are just playing cribbage, you know, next to the fireplace. We got some Christmas music on. And I just kind of get this look, and I'm looking around like, is this really happening? Did he really do this?
And then
yes, he did.
Pat's
he did.
Next thought was, I'm going to punish Dr. Lyerly and Greg tomorrow morning so hard.
I just wanted to give you an alternative to Paul McCartney's terrible, wonderful Christmas time.
I swear to God, Patrick. I swear to God.
Can you please cue up Do They Know It's Christmas with all of my favorite 80s people in it?
Because that would be the second worst Christmas song.
What a cringe. What a cringe.
How was your weekend?
I had the most amazing weekend. Let me tell you all about it.
Please do. We could really use that at this point.
Yes. Well, it was challenging and it was refreshing and I learned a lot. An organization called Starts With Us pulled together 14 people, 7 of which identify as pro-life, 7 of which identify as pro-choice. And we sat in a room with a moderator and talked about abortion in Wisconsin. And let me tell you, there were tears, there were words, there were so many emotions flying around. We talked a lot about what gets us to the point where abortion becomes an issue in someone's life. How do we support people all around their reproductive events in their lives, and how abortion events or birth or, you know, everything. I mean, it's not just as simple as have an abortion, don't have an abortion. It's just, it's complicated. The decision-making is complicated and everything that goes into it is part of your decision-making. So how do we create a better society so that we can reduce the number of abortions and also reduce the domestic violence and the rape and the incest and all of the other stuff that goes into it. And man, I learned so much from people who I otherwise wouldn't have been having conversations with at all. People who protest and work at crisis pregnancy centers. And, you know, it was just so unbelievable to bridge that divide and to come together. So, yeah, it was pretty amazing. So
do you feel like bridging actually went on? And I'm going to throw the skeptical point of view here, because you have certainly talked to many people over the years who thought they were anti-abortion until it involved them directly or involved a loved one directly. And mm-hmm. So, you know, they were reluctant, converts, shall we say. How did you feel like this was kind of the same thing? Like they thought they were opposed to abortion rights until they actually heard more details about, I don't know, reality, real situations? Or conversely, how did you feel like you saw those folks differently?
I have sat with so many people in the exam room, both in abortion clinics and in my own practice, just in, you know, general OBGYN practice, as people are trying to work out these complex issues. And we're bringing as much information as we can to the decision. And they themselves are trying to figure out how to move forward. And a lot of them do come as people who thought they were pro-life until they were faced with the situation. And that was the thing that I just kept in mind as we were trying to debate this as a philosophical idea. Because when you're not in a situation, you know, when you don't have cancer, you think, I would do this if I had cancer. But then when you're actually faced with cancer, you might make some different decisions. Right. And I think that's true for so many of the other things that we do in life. So that was the thing that I just kept in the back of my head. Like, if we were actually in this situation, would we be making these same decisions? And, you know, I have a much better understanding of how there were a lot of Catholics there, and I grew up Catholic, so of how Catholics approach this complex issue. You know, for them, it's about conception. And once conception has occurred, then that pregnancy is sacred. But then what do you do if it's an ectopic pregnancy that's dangerous and puts the mother's life at risk, or a molar pregnancy? These are really hard questions to answer, and questions that you have to answer personally. So yeah, I think we bridged. I think we all learned a lot, but there's still a lot of bridging left to do.
Boy, is there ever. But I mean, look, good on you and good on all those folks who did it. I'm sure it was not, you know, videotaped or anything like that, but
it was total. We had wires. Everything we said was recorded. This will come out, and there will be, so we created some policy items, and we're going to refine them, and then that information is going to come out and will be publicly available for you, for all of us to review and to vote on, because the goal is to see not what the polling shows, but what do people truly think when they're presented with issues that were developed by the people, not by the legislature.
Very interesting. Okay, well, I guess I'm glad to hear that, because I didn't want to be intrusive on your particular exercise, but thought this an exercise like this being videotaped could be extremely valuable to some people. Mm-hmm. So, well, good on you for doing that, especially during what is a somewhat troubling weekend. I mean, there are a couple of different cases we could talk about. There's the case of an Ohio woman, a black woman whose miscarriage has resulted in a felony charge for a miscarriage. We may get to that one, but I want to start with the Texas Supreme Court literally forcing a 31-year-old woman, Katie Cox, to stay pregnant, even though medically there is no doubt that this is a non-viable fetus. Now, Texas has an abortion ban that they claim has, you know, exceptions for the life or health of the mother. But I feel like we've learned a bit about the value of these exceptions with this Texas case.
Carrying a pregnancy to term is 14 times riskier than having an abortion in the first trimester. So there is no doubt that carrying a pregnancy confers a number of health risks. And we know in states with abortion bans that moms are 3 times more likely to die associated to the pregnancy. So in this situation, in this woman who is 20 weeks pregnant, and next week she's going to be 21 weeks pregnant, and the week after that she's going to be 22 weeks pregnant, the pregnancy doesn't stop because the judicial system has put a stay on this. So she has a pregnancy that has a problem, a chromosomal problem, a trisomy that is incompatible with life. And she is being forced to continue this pregnancy to put her life at risk for ideological reasons.
Ideological meaning that the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, who I hasten to add, was impeached recently for, I think it was bribery and a host of other things. He's a bad, bad dude. But there were not enough Republicans with the fortitude to remove him from office. He is not an honest broker in this, and is dealing with a Texas Supreme Court, one of the justices who was once a regular protester at an abortion clinic is now serving on the Texas Supreme Court. The deck is stacked against this woman, Katie Cox. Mm-hmm. And they're arguing that she hasn't met the conditions yet for one of these, you know, exceptions to the ban. This, while it's terrible for her, there is no doubt about this. The value, quote unquote, in this is that it sheds light across the country in all these states about whether to accept a ban in return for exceptions that may not actually be honored in court.
Well, and we're talking about this like we're bartering, but I mean, let's keep in mind that there is a woman at the center of this who is losing a pregnancy that she wanted. So she is suffering and her heart is broken, and now her story is all over the place. Everybody knows about it. Everybody knows what her name is. They know what her condition is.
Yeah,
they know what she's going through. No, she wants a baby. She wants a healthy baby. And now not only is she suffering like so many people suffer when they have situations like this, but she's put in this humiliating, horrifying, entirely preventable situation by a government that is not serving her.
And has opened herself up to God knows what already she's getting for, you know, email or messages or, you know, attention that she wasn't seeking. So the whole thing is just, it makes the folks on the right look so slimy, who say that they're pro-life, but they are hurting this woman's chances to have a baby in the future. They're hurting her future fertility. They have no moral claim to stand on. And I'll close on this point. And this is only one of many social media posts that said this, said the following: y'all will never see a man in court begging a judge to allow a life-saving medical procedure. And that is 1,000% true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not just in Texas. We see this happening right now in Ohio, where a woman's water broke and she delivered her baby on the toilet, which happens. I mean,
it happens.
And they found the fetus in the toilet, and they are charging her with, I think, like inappropriate disposal of a body or something like that. I mean, again, this is a woman who is grieving because she lost a desired pregnancy, and they're charging her with a felony. And there's a woman in Oklahoma, an indigenous woman, who had a miscarriage. She had substance use disorder in her pregnancy. She had a miscarriage at 15 weeks, and she's serving a prison term for 4 years for having a miscarriage. These women are serving are in trouble legally because of their desired pregnancies. I mean, what's going on in the world right now?
They're not in trouble because of their desired pregnancies. They are in trouble because certain zealots in the political realm want the control that they have for everybody to conform to their belief, their arguably wrongful belief. You can argue that, you know, things begin with conception rather than viability. And it is that forcing of values and forcing control over a body that has so many people active, and frankly will keep them active. I don't know what it's going to take to change the makeup of the Texas Supreme Court. And again, I'm not taking any away from the Katie Coxes or the Brittany Wattses, the woman in Ohio. But you look beyond this, and it is the wake up call that so many women and their allies have been needing, that you could be next. You know, I would bet you a year ago, Brittany Watts and Katie Cox would have just as easily said, I don't know that any of this necessarily applies to me. And now look at what courts and zealots are doing to the both of them right now. It's an absolute mess.
And let's name Brittany Pulau, who is the woman who's serving time in Oklahoma as well. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, it really causes you, after the weekend that I had, it really causes you to examine what does this mean to you? How does this affect people around you? What are the stories?
Oh, look, you know what story I thought of about this? Terri Schiavo, politicians who said, we know best, Terri Schiavo is alive. The doctors who say she's brain dead, you know, what do they know, those doctors? And forced, you know, her and that family and others to continue to suffer, again, in the name of politicizing values rather than allowing people to live their lives as free from government interference as possible, unless they are engaged in a violent act, which, by the way, suddenly makes the Wisconsin legislators of 1849, instead of looking cruel, actually makes them a little forward-looking, now that we know what they were trying to protect when writing that law was women. They're trying to protect women from being beaten by husbands, boyfriends, or whatnot. That law was about infanticide. It was not about abortion. And that's really what we should be looking out for, is protecting these women from abusive spouses, but also from abusive politicians and judges.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up Terri Schiavo, and I think that that's a really important point and often used as a corollary in these pregnancy-related situations. The big difference is that the clock is ticking in these pregnancy-related situations, and we just don't have time. These women don't have time for the court system to make decisions. They need prompt medical decisions, prompt judicial decisions, so that they can make their medical decisions, because the longer they wait, the greater the risk for them and the greater the impact on their family and their community.
And by the way, the Texas Supreme Court, you know, they didn't say that this is our final no. They said, this is our no temporarily. We want to come back and look at this more in depth. Well, frankly, again, because this is health, life, and death at stake, they should have said, so we're going to do that right now. You know, why should they get to go home and sleep in a warm bed when there's somebody suffering like this? So the Texas Supreme Court says they're going to look at it more thoroughly later. But like you said, every day, That's another day of threatening her health. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll do today's history lesson. Selena Heller will join us as well as we get set to ask a few kids, you know, what they want for Christmas. We'll have to ask, you know, Dr. Lyerly and Selena as well as we get set to race toward the holidays. We'll have more in just a bit. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Yeah, we mentioned the other day that Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, which was Brenda Lee's number one hit 65 years ago, is the number one song in the country again, making her both the youngest to have a number one song and the oldest to have a number one song. Well, she's a little bit older. Today is Brenda Lee's birthday. She is 79 years old. So
she was 13 when she recorded that song.
Yeah,
13. Was.
And the year before, she recorded a song called Dynamite, which a 12-year-old should never sing.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Selena Heller and Whiskers the Cat joins us now. Mostly Whiskers, but Selena.
Good morning.
Selena shows up on the camera now and then. How are you?
I am well. How's everyone else?
Sometimes I want you to go, as the cat fur just flies.
There's some.
All right, so Selena's going to be talking to us a little bit about some of the kids that she interviewed recently about what they want for Christmas. But in the meantime, we'll continue today's history lesson. And on a serious note here, on this day in 1934, a guy named Bill Wilson took his last drink and he entered treatment for the first time. And later he would co-found Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill Wilson, on this day in 1934, which is just to say we do make a lot of comments and a lot of humor about drinking, but you know, I think all of us have friends who are trying to not drink so much or stop entirely. And for every one of those folks, we don't wish to make you uncomfortable. We tip our cap to every one of you, and we want to be supportive and wish you nothing but success, especially in the holiday seasons. That can be a little challenging for a lot of
100%.
Folks.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Here's another one we played recently, the Marvelettes' Please, Mr. Postman. But let me tell you why we're playing that one.
You wouldn't stop to make me feel better by leaving me a card or a letter. Please, Mr. Postman.
We played the Marvelettes when it was Berry Gordy Jr.'s birthday a couple of weeks back, founder of Motown. Well, as it turns out, on this day in 1961, that song was the very first song to go to number one for Motown. On December 11th, 1961. On this day in 1913, more than 2 years after the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre, the painting was recovered in Florence, Italy. The thief, Vincenzo Perugia, was immediately arrested. On this day in 1936, Edward VIII abdicated as King of the United Kingdom. Here's another clip that we've played before from Big Mama Thornton. This is the anniversary of her birth. She was born 97 years ago. Big Mama passed away in 1984, but she was the original to record this later Elvis Presley tune.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around my door.
Here's a birthday to tell you about Rita Moreno. You know, when I think Rita Moreno, I actually don't think West Side Story. You know, she was Anita in the original Broadway smash and the film. Sure. You know, legendary Puerto Rican actress. I still think of The Electric Company.
I do too. And Morgan Freeman was on there.
And Morgan Freeman was on there. Yep. Rita Moreno turns 92 today. So happy birthday to Rita Moreno. All right. We mentioned David Gates earlier with Bread, who took what was once a rock and roll group and then made it a little more sappy. Happy 83rd birthday to David Gates, who gave us love songs like this.
Oh, this is what I'm talking about.
There you go. Yep. I feel like I want to get my hair feathered.
Yeah.
I'm slow dancing with you guys right now.
Former senator and presidential candidate John Kerry turns 80 years old today. Actress Terry Garr is 79 today. The bassist from Motley Crue, Nikki Sixx, is 65. What?
I'm sorry. Nikki Sixx. If you know anything about Nikki Sixx, the fact that he made it to 35 is amazing.
I know. That's every time. There's this thing about people turning 65. Yeah. So all the 1958 birthdays this year, I've been like, oh, good work out of you. Jermaine Jackson is 69 today. Of course, member of the Jackson 5. Had a couple of solo hits, too, in the 80s, including this one. I feel like we're back on Shenanigans on Water Street there, Selena. What do you think?
Dance across the street.
Yep. Why is this floor so sticky? It's like they never mopped some of these dance floors, you know? Roy Wood Jr., comedian, is 45.
Oh, so actress, good.
Actress Haley Steinfeld is 27 today. Bernie Madoff was arrested and charged with a $50 billion Ponzi scheme on this day in 2008. And this is a big deal day for the COVID pandemic. It was on this day 3 years ago in 2020 that the FDA issued an emergency use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine, the first one to be approved. I can't even begin to describe to future generations the sigh of relief, the collective sigh of relief that went out on this day in 2020. It was no small deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was what we hoped was the beginning of the end. And then it got politicized like so many other things do and didn't wasn't able to do as much good as it should have. But, you know, we were able to get some good use out of it. Kristen, without necessarily calling out any people or things specifically, but I just want to say on your behalf, there are government institutions that are holding meetings today. They often do have meetings, you know, this is the second Monday of the month. So I'm sure there's government bodies holding second Monday of the month meetings. And I would like to urge them in the future to actually look at the Green Bay Packers football schedule and not schedule meetings, because I think you're going to a school board meeting tonight.
In De Pere.
Okay. I was going to say, you didn't have to call them out, but okay, De Pere, if you're listening.
She did.
Yeah. I did.
Go St. Norbert's.
I know. You know, we have to continue doing our thing. I bet it ends early, though. Maybe that's the one bright spot, is we're not going to drag it out because we all need to get home and watch the end of the game.
Well, because there might actually be some scoring on, like, did you see the Vikings game yesterday, the Vikings-Raiders? It was this close to being the first game since 1943 to end in a 0-0 tie. Wow. But instead it ended with the Vikings winning 3-0, so the lowest scoring game in NFL history. Good job, Vikings fans. Good work out of you. What have I got on my calendar here? International Mountain Day, Gingerbread House Day. Greg, was this you or was it some other comedian I heard say, do you think the gingerbread men are freaked out when they realize the house is made of their flesh? I don't know. Must not have been you.
I heard that joke somewhere else. I didn't make that joke, but...
Yeah, and you didn't repeat it either.
Thanks for attributing it to my art and craft. Cool. Thank you.
Thought you'd appreciate that. Oh,
yeah.
Clearly, I was wrong.
I mean,
I'll put myself in penalty box for about 6-7 minutes here. We'll come back and visit.
There you go. That's your penalty.
Oh, you.
I'm just kidding.
So wrong. Back in a bit.
That was beautiful.
You're up north.
you're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.